We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up and tweet us pictures or whatever it is that you're drinking. Shout out to Extreme Detail.
My dude.
He's got the Colt 45 22-ouncer and Red Stripe. Haven't seen a Red Stripe in a while. Good for him.
Yeah, he's drinking that. I told you he's drinking that ashtray change beer. We all do it. It don't make no difference. Andy, I just did the dance, Andy, during the break.
The dance where you lay on the ground and
man,
pelvic thrust towards the sky.
Yeah, man.
How'd it go?
I can still do it. I just like the hips and knees ain't getting as much lift as it used to.
I could see the lift not being what it was when you were 19 years old.
What about
the shoulders? Though?
The shoulders burn
a lot of pressure on the shoulders.
The shoulders burn a little bit, man.
Okay. Now, you get your hands back behind your head?
I got it back there, though.
How do your abs feel? Because that's a core workout, too.
I mean, I still do my crunches and stuff in the morning.
Oh, do you?
Now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
really?
I still do my crunches. Yeah, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do my crunches in the morning, man. Yeah, because the reason I do it because I'm getting ready to go to the beach. So I got to, you know.
You got to tone it up.
I told you, dude, I ain't stopping nothing until I get them damn D'Angelo cuts. And once I get them D'Angelo cuts, I'm good, man. But I just want that. I want the D'Angelo cuts, so I can wear my swim trunks. Just
speaking
right
of that
right
video,
there it is.
Like was that 97? Maybe a little later than that, 99, something like that.
Yeah.
That was a video that didn't do like young, undeveloped Andy Bunker any favors. Girls start seeing that video in high school, and it's like, oh, that's what men look like.
Yeah,
not all of them. Some of them.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. You let me get something like that, and I'm wearing Speedos. Because that's where because I'm still covered up. But that cut showing, man, please. I'm floating around. Like what Martin Lawrence said, I'm floating on the beach with my leopards. Some leopard Speedos.
Such a funny phrase. Everyone knows what you mean when you say D'Angelo cuts.
Yeah, them D'Angelo
cuts. Everyone knows
Andy,
what you
please
mean.
Tell me this.
What?
Because I'm getting this vision right now, man.
Okay. This doesn't sound like a good vision for you to have, but go on.
Did you imitate this when this came out?
What, that video?
Yeah.
Of course I did. Everybody sang in the mirror of that song.
No. Hey.
Everybody
with
did
the towel and everything?
Oh, of course.
Wow.
Of course. I'm in the bathroom shower, you know, you wipe off the steam and you start, because if you lean back, right, and get the right angle, you can kind of have some D'Angelo cuts too. Maybe not quite the same. You know, there's other things he's got that I don't. But, yeah, you can convince yourself you're doing it.
All right, I'm just checking. I don't know why. I just had this, like, I bet Andy asked in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Singing, how does it?
And I was like, what would happen if I had cornrows? No, that wouldn't be a good thing.
No, that wouldn't be a good look on you.
That'd be a bad move. But I'd do some more crunches and start singing with a falsetto. Maybe get the ladies interested. All right, let's get to the most important audio in the world. Sports Jeopardy coming up in 40 minutes from right now. We need your questions. Send them to Wendy at Wendy Radio on Instagram or Twitter. It's hard to tell people not to be a creep after all that stuff that I just said. But try not to be a creep. And we'll play Sports Jeopardy at 12:40. Deshaun Takes Hoops is going to join us in 20 minutes. Talk some NCAA basketball. Really good week for Tech. Find out if Tate thinks that they've punched their ticket to the dance. But let's get to the most important audio in the world, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
I know why people are saying that. This has been out. I mean, people have been saying that for 2 months now. And quite frankly, you know, I track these things pretty closely. I do reporting on it. There's only been one over the last 3 weeks when teams started cutting players, that was a surprise at all. That was Kyle Van Noy of the Dolphins. That one surprised me because they paid him $15 million for one season. And then, and here's the other thing. It's not a cap issue. They were already well under the cap. They're about $30 million under. They just didn't want him. See, I think folks have to put this stuff in context. If you're going to say there's going to be a bloodletting, well, you got to tell me why the team cut the player first, and I'll tell you if that's accurate.
So that's Adam Kaplan from yesterday. And the question was basically, you know, we're hearing from other NFL insiders, Adam Kaplan being an NFL insider himself for Fox Sports Radio, that next week's going to be crazy. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen in terms of cutting players because of the salary cap situation. And he says, no, I don't see it that way. So, I mean, either he's right or a lot of these other people are right, and we'll find out. I don't know, just from a perspective of looking at it and analyzing it and covering it, it would be a lot more interesting if it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. But we'll see. And Adam Kaplan sounded really confident that, yeah, I'm not so sure that it actually is going to be like that. Like, teams are going to cut guys. But he went on to say teams don't cut players that they want.
That's true, though.
It is true.
It's true.
But that's also obvious. Like, yeah, if you cut them, you didn't want them.
I think that's
sort of a weird line. Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. And we'll just have to see. And, you know, I don't know. NFL insiders can be wrong, too. I mean, we have Adam Kaplan on because he's entertaining and gives us a lot of information. It's possible that he's wrong about that. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, I think because of, you know how the cap's going to look and things like that, you don't cut players they don't want on your team, but there's going to be some players that if it was a normal year, they would not be cut because of their roles, their rotations, or whatever you want to call it. And it's going to be different. I don't think we know how different it will be. We know it's going to be different. We don't know how significant of cuts and restructures that are going to actually have to go on until the NFL sets a damn the salary cap.
Yeah,
the actual number has not come out yet. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure, and teams are working, and I'm sure most teams are working by the same thing of where they think it might be. But, yeah, the NFL hasn't even dropped and said, okay, this is going to be the salary cap. Nothing at all. Mm-hmm.
So all of the money that we're talking about are the Falcons, what, there was a 27 over the cap, $27 million over the cap. That's based on an assumption of what the number is actually going to be. At some point between now and March 17th, we know certain things are going to happen. The Falcons are going to move some money around or cut guys or do whatever to get under the number. And we're going to have to find out what the number is. And if I'm a Terry Fontenot or a general manager around the league, kind of like looking at my watch and maybe refreshing my email every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
When the NFL is going to tell us. Like, we got some decisions to make here, guys. We might have to cut a player that we, I don't know. Again, you don't cut players that you want. I think this year is a little bit different. You might have to cut players that you want. We might have to move on from a guy we were planning on having on the roster.
Yeah.
And that means like 15 other things have to happen this offseason and other preparations have to be made to replace him. So, yeah, hopefully the NFL gets that together and tells these teams as soon as possible what that number is actually going to be. Here's the Falcons head coach, Arthur Smith, talking about what he learned from the head coach that he used to work for, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, there's a lot I'll take from Vrabes. Vrabes is authentic. He obviously played in New England and then coached Ohio State and coached in Houston. I mean, he's the own guy, and I say that like the highest compliment, because a lot of times somebody will get hired from somewhere and they try to act like the person they were just with. I certainly won't do that. He's extremely
Get the gloves on, Arthur. Get the gloves on out there.
he's by far, Rabel's the funniest guy I've ever worked with. Like, he didn't mean to be. He's so sarcastic. And, I mean,
he's like a
machine gun on the practice field. That's his best talent. He can rip somebody and then he realizes somebody else and just goes right down the line. Sometimes you try not to laugh because it's so damn funny. The Rabel was great. He helped me out a lot, and I'm very thankful for working with him.
That's great. Great stuff there from Arthur Smith. Funny story about Mike Vrabel just killing folks on the sideline. But the most important thing you hear from him, and he says the right things when he's asked these questions about what his style is going to be when he's a coach, is you can't try to be somebody that you're not.
Exactly.
And, I mean, that's true in every walk of life. It's very true in our profession. Randy, we just talked about Colin Cowherd. There's 100 people out here trying to pretend to be Colin Cowherd in this business, and yeah. I don't know why. Be you, otherwise you're not going to make it very far. But like, in order for him to have success, obviously he's going to have to not only be himself, but kind of find his voice quickly. And I think that's something that a lot of people that came from the Bill Belichick tree, not that Arthur Smith did, but Vrabel did, struggle with. That they see Belichick have success the way that he had it. Mm-hmm. They go to those teams and they, all right, I'm going to do that too. And you can't, because not everybody's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and you know, I think that when you look at certain people who went away from Bill Belichick that try to emulate him, I can only think of two people, really. Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. And Matt Patricia. Mm-hmm. Vrabes don't try to act like him.
No, he Vrabes acts like
himself. Vrabes acts like himself. He's a sarcastic jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, but he's a player's coach. He cares about his players a lot. Not saying that the other guys didn't, but no. But that's just the thing about it is that you always got – now, Dan Quinn came and brought all of the mantras, the slogans, and everything except for the brotherhood from up there in Seattle. He brought all that here to Atlanta, the competition, tell the truth, all that. But he was himself, though. But and the thing about it is what I mean, he was himself. Dan's always been a high energy guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always, you know, before he was with Pete Carroll, he was always a high energy type coach. Mm-hmm. You got to be yourself. I'm interested to see what Arthur does. I mean, but I love, like you said, everything that he's been, you know, asked about as far as his philosophies and everything. It seems like it's all about him. Yeah, I'm gonna take something to learn here or over there and all those things. But at the same time, this is my show.
Yeah.
This is mine. I got to go out here. I can't be him because the one thing, I'll tell you, I would say this. The people that you can never fool are the players. Players know if you phony or not. They know. They're like, okay, whatever.
You ever have a run-in with Vrabel on the field? He ever say anything funny to you when you were playing?
Dude, no. The thing about Vrabes is like, Vrabes ain't no trash talker.
Okay.
He's just a jerk.
But he would have had to have guarded you at some point.
Oh, yeah. I used to work Mike V.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Oh, yeah, I used to work Mike V. Now, the thing with Mike.
You were a trash talker.
But the thing with Mike was this. Mike, and this is one of the frustrating things about today's tight end play is how they get run free. Man, between Mike and Willie and them damn long arms, dude, wouldn't let you get off the line. Because that's before they had the 5-yard chuck rule. Mm-hmm. So him, Mike V, was the most holding, his grabbing, because he couldn't run. He can't run. But, dude, he was a technician, smart football player. But, no, obviously worked Mike V. I got tape of that.
So the other thing that we talk about when we talk about Arthur Smith that I think he does a really good job of talking about and answering, we'll see what it looks like when he's actually the coach, is this assumption that everyone makes that, all right, you were here, you had success doing this, you're going to try to do that now in Atlanta. You ran the ball a bunch, you had a great running back, you're going to try to recreate that. And obviously that's a silly thing to assume if you don't have – Derrick Henry, you can't just do that. And I think if we're talking about sort of shortcomings that Dan Quinn had, I do think Dan Quinn came in here and sort of established his own culture. Some of it was taken from Pete Carroll, but that's okay. He was his own guy. Yeah. The issue that Dan Quinn had was he tried to recreate and do what him and Pete Carroll did in Seattle, and he didn't have the personnel to do it. Like, he thought that that was a blueprint. And unfortunately, drafting Hall of Famers in the 5th round isn't a blueprint. It's a great thing to be able to do if you can, but it's not really like something that's easy to duplicate. The thing that I like, again, what we're hearing from Arthur Smith is, yeah, we're going to adapt what we do offensively and defensively to the personnel that we have. And I'm going to be my own. I'm not going to try to be Mike Vrabel. I'm not going to try to run the offense that we had in Tennessee. It's going to be similar because I'm the one calling the plays. But it's going to be different, too, because we have different players. And again, these are the right things to say. Hopefully they actually show up on the field when he's in charge of this football team. So yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock, every single Thursday on Facebook Live, the 92.9 The Game Facebook Live page, me, Mike Conti, Jason Longshore talk Hawks for an hour. Mike made a really interesting point yesterday about if you think about what the Hawks did this week with Lloyd Pierce, what could that possibly mean for John Collins? Here's Mike Conti.
I think the three of us agree that there has been a clear change in direction for this Hawks franchise where the development time is over. Now we have to be competitive. And the decision was made to fire Lloyd Pierce because they aren't winning enough. Well, how then can you make that decision but be content with trading away your second best player, or maybe third best player? We could debate Capella or Collins. How do you justify trading Collins and damaging your chances to make the playoffs when you fired your head coach because you didn't think he was going to get into the playoffs this year? So to me, that might be a sign that the Hawks are going to ride this out and maybe try to work something out with John in this restricted free agency process.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. If patience had anything to do with what you were doing, then you wouldn't have traded Lloyd, or you wouldn't have fired Lloyd Pierce. The ownership and everyone in the organization came out at the beginning of the year and said, this is a playoff year.
Yep.
Except for Travis Schlenk.
Okay.
And then he said it earlier this week. So now Travis Schlenk is on board with that too. Trading John Collins isn't going to get you closer to the playoffs this year. Now, it might, if you make the right trade, help you out 2-3 years from now, depending on what you can get for him. But if everything is about making the playoffs this year, then I probably don't see the Hawks trading John Collins.
I don't see it either. If that's their anticipation of going to playoffs, he's going to be on the basketball team. John's going to be on this team. If that's the expectations, obviously it seems like it is right now. So, yeah, I don't see him being moved at all. You know, and so the second half, interested to see if his minutes go up, because his minutes have been down lately.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe it's something that we don't know about, but hopefully they can get that back. But no, their expectations are the playoffs right now. You need John Collins on your basketball team, period.
Yeah, I agree with that. Your chances of going to the playoffs this year are obviously – John Collins is one of the three best players on the team right now. If he's not on the court, the stats back it up. You're just not as good. The only issue I have with that is – if somebody offers you something, who's a younger player, somebody like that, because the assumption is, and this may be incorrect, but the assumption is that if you keep John Collins, you lose him at the end of the season, right? He walks away because you're not going to offer that contract for him. So if you don't trade him and he leaves at the end of the year, he doesn't help you in 2 years. He might help you go to the playoffs this year, which is good. I mean, I want to go to the playoffs this year too. But for me, the most important thing is like the long-term health of this franchise. And if you could do something that helps you 2-3 years from now, how do you not?
Man, how long have they been in this damn rebuild moment? It's been a long term already, man. You talking about?
I think it feels longer than long, it's only been like 3 years.
Why did it feel like it's been six?
Yeah,
the long-term future.
You know, Travis Schlenk, somebody brought this to my attention earlier this week. When Travis Schlenk took over, he said it might take 7 years. Nobody wants to hear that.
Is this
Usher? Yeah, this is Usher. Usher Raymond.
Yeah, Usher went to – what did Usher? He went to Cross Keys, I think. I think a girl I went to school with Usher, talking about he's a walk around the hallway doing singing and dancing.
That makes sense. He's good at singing and dancing.
Yeah, I mean, Usher, that dude, man.
We'll come back and talk to DeShaun Tate about college basketball. Tate's Take Hoops coming up next. Find out if he thinks Tech has done enough to get into the NCAA tournament right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
More dancing, Puffy.
If you hear Puff Daddy giggling in the background, you know it's a song probably from 1997. And it's probably going to be good, too.
This beat was so cold. Now, tell me, I got a question for you. Two questions for you.
Okay.
What song was better to this beat? This song or Cube?
Ice Cube?
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. The second one. Somebody was talking about some of our listeners having fun with the whole D'Angelo cut and had the pumps in the bump video. What the hell was Hammer doing? I really want to know what Hammer was doing, because the song was called Pumps and a Bump. All them bumps out there in pumps, and he want to be out there in them little ad draws.
Yeah, he's doing.
He was doing my dance.
My go-to dance.
That was the go-to dance. Yes.
He's got is it like a leopard print? That he's wearing?
What happened to the dookie pants?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He was working out hard, and he felt good about himself. That's what he was doing.
I was like, I remember I was so distraught when I was, cause I just remember having the dookie pants do the tight ride.
And then all of a sudden he
pumps in a bump in his draws. Yeah. All them pretty bumps and them pumps. And you want to be out there in your draws.
I'm with you. I agree. We're 100% in lockstep on this one.
Oh, yeah. One more time. Stop damn snitching, okay? It ain't no shots fired.
Me?
It's fun. No, not you.
Oh.
Shots fired, midday. We ain't taking shots. We having fun.
Yeah, we're just goofing.
Damn snitches.
We're just goofing off. Also, here's the other thing about when we talk about other shows or other people on the radio.
They talk about us.
Well, it's the show's broadcast. Like, they probably heard it. You know what I mean? Like, if we were trying to be sneaky and talk mean about people, we probably wouldn't do it on the radio.
Fired.
Anyway, we'll get to Sports Jeopardy coming up in 15 minutes. You can still send your questions to Wendy at Wendy Radio on Instagram or on Twitter. Direct message with the answer. Wendy says we got a lot of good ones today, which is awesome.
Oh, man.
But we can still use more. What?
I need to win.
Oh, you do. You kind of do.
Yeah, and I'm doing a new strategy because y'all think that the only time that the beer cracks open is at one. that's the only one that you hear.
Sports Jeopardy beer is coming at us. All right, let's get the tape. Deshaun Tate.
This is Tate's Take with Deshaun Tate, featuring NCAA college basketball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Deshaun Tate joins us on Fridays at 12:20 on the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta's Ford dealers. Everything all right? What's going on? Somebody whistling for a cab or what? What's up, Tate?
What's going on? Appreciate you guys for having me. And since Randy has two questions for you, then I'm going to top it off. And I got one question for Randy.
Yes.
What other sport do you know brings colleagues together for a little fellowship on a Monday morning following a Selection Sunday the way March Madness brackets does? And I got a hint. I got a little bit of a clue for you.
Lacrosse?
It's not the football squares leading up to the Super Bowl, that's for sure. It's March, baby. What's up?
Oh, yeah, it's March. It's my anniversary this month. Samson turns 8. So, yeah, it's a lot of important things going on in March. But, you know, it is what it is. What's going on, my dude? I want to get into it because, man, you were talking last night. And last night, I mean, Coach Juwan Howard and what he was able to do after getting beat down the night before to come in and win the Big Ten regular season championship against some team. I don't know who they played last night, but they destroyed them. Are they prepared to make a serious run this year in the tournament?
Talking about Michigan or talking about Illinois?
No, I'm talking about Michigan because Michigan destroyed somebody last night and won the regular season title. I forgot who that team was they played last night, but they destroyed them, so it wasn't even really no competition. But what is Juwan Howard's legit chances in the tournament?
Yeah, after back-to-back-to-back conference champions, you can't win them all. But I'll tell you this much when it comes to Michigan, though. You know what? I think that they do. They have a really good, you know, balanced offense and defense, balanced transition and half court. So you have to really it's tough to speed up a team or slow down a team like that. You know, the thing about them is that you got to match their physicality. They're a very physical team. Obviously, it's the Big Ten. And they rebound the crap out of the basketball as well. So if you're talking about beating those Wolverines, you got to jump on them early, keep your foot on the accelerator. And in addition to that, I don't know. I know Baylor's obviously a really good team and the longevity, they've been doing it all season. But I've got Michigan probably surpassing Baylor at this point to maybe try and challenge Gonzaga for that top spot at some point.
Yeah, but the weird thing is they got smacked earlier in the week, too.
I
know they won a good game last night and won the regular season title, but Illinois took them to the woodshed earlier on in the week. Like, how does that – I know Illinois is good, too, but how does that happen to a team that's so talented like Michigan?
Well, you want to beat Michigan, you got to convert on your shots. And for the two losses that Michigan has, you know, Minnesota and Illinois both shot 46%+ from the field, so you definitely got to make your shots. Ayo Dosunmu didn't even play in that game. That's probably something that's very key. He's definitely up for a player of the year, and I don't think he'll get it more so. But between him and Kofi Coburn, and I know that name sounds very familiar to you, Andy, those two are the only major conference duo averaging 17 points per game. So it's the first road win versus the top 25 for Illinois since 1989. And they've won 10 of their last 11, five wins versus ranked opponents. And I'm going to throw this one last thing out there at you. They're starting to incorporate their role players a little bit more. Guys like Trent Frazier, Miller, Andre Curbelo, Bazanish Vili, guys like that. If you remember back in 2005 when that team went to the Final Four, everybody's going to remember D. Brown and Darren Williams, much like they did to Sumu and Coburn. But who they incorporated was Luther Head, Roger Powell, James Augustine, guys like that. And that's when they started making their run. Illinois didn't do that early in the year. I think they're starting to do it now, and that's why they've been so much more successful.
Tate, do you have a feeling, and I mean, I know we asked you this a couple weeks ago, but now that, you know, they're in the conference championships, about to start and all these things, regular season coming to an end, do you feel like it's somebody that's outside of the top four, like the Gonzagas, the Baylors, the Michigan schools like that, that have a legit shot and maybe contending for the title this year? Because I don't know why it just seems like just this year, Tate, with not having to travel, everybody's in one place, that this could be one of those years where you might have a Villanova 8 seed type shocker.
Yeah, and while Villanova was looking like that was a possibility, I wasn't as high on him as other people were. Well, now that's pretty much shot at this point because Colin Gillespie, their starting point guard and an All-American, just went down and is out for the season with an ACL tear. But I've been talking about Texas. I mean, they keep letting me down every time I start talking about them. Maybe if I keep my mouth closed and zip it up, which is impossible, especially if you ask my mom, then maybe they can get it together. But they still have some time, and there's still some opportunities to do so. They're one of the teams. Outside of that, I mean, you can talk about Iowa, Illinois. I'm not sure if I feel as comfortable about saying that those teams can win a national championship as much as I do feel comfortable and confident that they can go to the Final Four. But I'm not sure there's nearly – there's always going to be those talks about how there's, you know, 8 to 12, 15 teams that can win a national title. I don't think that's the case. There's probably that many teams to go to the Final Four this year, though.
Tate, this Loyola team is very, they're one of those teams where if it was a regular season with, you know, with Duke and everybody looking like Duke and Kentucky and those teams, where would you put them at right now? Or are they right there 20-ish because of the fact that everybody else around, especially the SEC and the ACC, are down this year?
No, not really. I mean, they've been winning games, and some people feel like that this is a team that's better than the Final Four team. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
They've got one guy returning off of that roster from when they went, Cameron Crutwig, who's now a senior, was a freshman at the time. They're in the Missouri Valley. If you don't know much about Missouri Valley, that's probably one of the more exciting conference tournaments to ever watch. And I know that Drake is on the bubble, and they're right in the conversation to contend. Maybe getting an automatic qualifier bid, potentially, hopefully for them, they can maybe steal it away from Loyola Chicago. But Porter Moser, if he gets this team rolling even half as well as he did going on his way to that Final Four run, they're going to be beating down his doors to maybe take a bigger job, perhaps not only in the Power Six, but could be one of those blue bloods. Who knows?
Deshaun Tate joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, talking some NCAA basketball. Obviously, you know, we've been talking about Tech all week. They had a nice win in overtime against Duke earlier on this week. Do you think that that was enough to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament, or do they still have a little bit more work to do?
No, I think it was enough. I mean, this isn't the typical Duke team, and we all understand that. But there is no asterisk, especially for Georgia Tech. I thought that they were in before the Duke win. I mean, think about it. They've got four wins against top 25 teams. Florida State, who I think is for sure going to be all but a lock for a Final Four, in my opinion. That's a team that could be tough for a team like Gonzaga if they meet them on the way there. They've got to win against them. They've got to win against Virginia Tech, who's ranked. Syracuse is a fairly still consistent program, very respectable. Clemson, when they were ranked with a good defense, it's not very often that Georgia Tech is going to beat teams like Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky all in the same season and still be kind of somewhat living on the bubble. But I tell you know what, they're playing with house money. They've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Last time I checked, the way I was raised, that's just a dangerous combination.
Right.
And they can play with almost, keyword, almost anybody in the country.
And when you look at their chances, because I was listening to Mike Conte in our update, and they're playing at Wake Forest tonight. Wake Forest not as good as we're usually accustomed them to be. If that's a game that Georgia Tech slips up, do you still think they're automatically in, or do you still think they might need some help to get in?
I mean, I think they still have a little bit more work to do. If not, that's the approach that I would be taking if I'm Georgia Tech, playing with the mindset that they are definitely out and on the outside looking in, playing still with a chip on their shoulder. Don't forget, this is a team that started out the season 0-2 after losing to Georgia State and Mercer. But you know what? Think about it. The last time that we spoke, this team was eighth in the ACC. That was just 7 days ago. Today, they're fifth in the ACC. And if that doesn't sound familiar to you, that's where they ended the year on last year. So you definitely want to stay away from maybe trying to overlook Wake Forest, if you will, and just try and control what you can control, if not nothing else, to solidify and confirm your tournament bid. Go out there and at least win a game or two in the ACC conference tournament. And I don't even think it's much of a conversation after that.
Is Moses Wright the ACC player of the year?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, there's talks about maybe Carlick Jones from Louisville, Matthew Hurt from Duke. I think that the guy is Justin Champagne with all the double-doubles from Pittsburgh, a guy that not a lot of people talk about. But I tell you this much, when it comes to when it does come to Moses Wright, there's not many players in the ACC who's been more consistent and persistent than he has. Remember how confident everybody was coming back for his senior year and all the growth after his junior year that Ben Lammers was a few years ago with Josh Okogie? Uh-huh. It kind of gives you a little bit of that same feel, and he's a beast. If he returns, that's when I think we can be more realistically talking about him getting ACC Player of the Year.
Tate, we appreciate it. It's March. I know it's your favorite time of year, so we look forward to talking to you every Friday.
All right, homie.
Appreciate you.
Deshaun Tate there. Follow him on Twitter at Tate's Take Hoops.
Pump
every Friday at 12:20, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. We'll come back. It's time for Sports Jeopardy. It's 12:40 on Friday.
All that we want.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Andy and Randy's Sports Jeopardy.
Okay.
Brought to you by Relay Graduate School of Education. Enroll today at www.relay.edu.
Andy.
Randy.
Randy, I can join you if you'd like. They have seltzers at breweries.
You don't even know that. You just like because Brian told you that yesterday.
No, they do. It's true.
They have seltzers there.
Yeah, a lot of them
do. So, Randy, we can hang out. I know you're really excited.
You don't want to hang out with me, Wendy.
I invited you. We're going to a brewery after the show, Wendy. You can come hang out with us.
Go hang out with them. Go squeeze them juicy cheeks, that pretty little
Please
girl.
Please don't squeeze my cheeks, Wendy.
Oh, stop.
I'm talking about my girl.
Oh, my grandma's see them jaws.
Yeah, she does. Jaws. Ashley got her a bib that says cheeks for weeks. Which is very true.
All she's right. so cute. If you haven't seen Andy's baby girl, Lillian, at Bunky Pants on Instagram.
At Bunky Pants, check her out. She's dressed like a Pacific Northwest baby today.
Adorable. Well, Randy, you've been on a hot losing streak, so hopefully you can get back on the winning side of ways. Andy, congratulations for winning as many times as you had. I've lost
count. He's won four in a row?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's more important for him to win than it is for me to lose.
All right. A lot of listeners submitting all-star questions. Okay. So there's going to be a number of those sprinkled in here. So just get ready for it. And we'll start with one. Who won the 2003 NBA All-Star Dunk and three-point competition held here in Atlanta?
Won both of them?
No, one won the dunk contest, and the other won the three-point competition.
Oh, he said both of them won at the same time.
No,
oh, okay.
We could do half a point if you don't know both of them. We can give a half a point.
All right, I'll go Andy.
Andy.
My guess for the three-point shootout would be Peja Stojakovic.
That's not right? That is correct. No, that's correct.
Oh, it is correct.
That is correct, yes.
And then my guess for the dunk contest would be... God, 03, Jason Richardson.
You got them both.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Hey, Jason Richardson, underrated, great
Dude,
dunk contest.
Yes, sir. Yes,
he doesn't
sir.
Get talked about when you talk about.
Yes,
he threw
sir.
Off the backboard between his legs. Nobody
oh,
ever done that before.
It.
It's crazy.
Yeah. He went and got it.
All right, we're going to stick with the All-Star game. The last NBA All-Star game in Atlanta, 2003. Who was the MVP?
Andy.
I don't remember.
Andy?
Was it Jordan?
It was not Jordan.
Oh. No, it wasn't Mike.
Okay.
Randy.
Randy.
Was it Allen Iverson?
It was not. It was Kevin Garnett.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll keep with the All-Star game here in Atlanta. Whose last All-Star game was it?
Randy.
In 2003. Randy.
It was Mike's.
It was Michael Jordan.
Oh. That's why I thought he won the MVP.
No, he didn't win it, but you remember Vince? You remember how that because Vince was the starter.
Uh-huh.
And Vince sat out so Mike could start. Yeah.
Was that the one where Mariah Carey performed?
Yes, it was.
That was cool.
Ooh, wow, gee.
Yeah, that was good.
Ooh.
It is 2-1. Andy has the lead. Where did rapper Mace play college basketball?
I don't know. I ain't no Mace played college
Mace
basketball.
Mace played college basketball?
He did. Huh. I'll give you guys a hint.
Okay. Randy.
He's here in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
Oh, Randy. I said Randy.
I got you, Randy.
Oh, did he go to Oglethorpe?
That is incorrect.
That's an awesome guess. Savannah State.
Also incorrect, Clark Atlanta University.
Really?
Oh, I did not know that.
I did not
I
know
promise
that Mace
you,
went
I did
to that
not, I did not know that he went there. I did not know he went to Clark.
My apologies to all the Clark Atlanta
folks. Hey, definitely there. My apologies, especially when I went with Oglethorpe. Oglethorpe's a great school, but my bad.
The more you know.
Yeah, wow. Huh.
Who has the most NBA All-Star MVPs?
Randy.
Randy?
Michael Jordan?
That is incorrect.
I know who it is, though.
You do? Shaq?
Incorrect.
No, Will.
It is a tie between Kobe Bryant and Bob Pettit.
Bob Pettit.
Oh, Bob Pettit, really?
All right, there
Did
we
I
go.
Did I know that? Okay.
So that'll end our NBA portion of Sports Jeopardy today. Andy still with a 2-1 lead. In honor of The Dip and the other great songs we're playing in honor of 1997, the year Randy graduated high school, who won the college football national championship in 1997? Andy?
Michigan.
I will accept Michigan.
Randy.
Randy, I'll give you another point if you know the other school.
It was Michigan and Nebraska.
Nebraska was the other school, yeah, so technically both acceptable answers, because the AP poll awarded it to Michigan, while the USA Today coaches poll gave it to
Isn't it
Nebraska.
Nice we don't have to have split national champions anymore?
Yes, Lord,
it's
yes.
nice we don't have to
Yes,
do that
Lord.
So each of you guys get a point for that. It is now 3-2. Andy is still on top. This one from Glenwood underscore Zone 6 on Instagram. He wanted a shout out. Which city has hosted the most Super Bowls?
Randy.
Randy?
New Orleans.
That is incorrect.
Los Angeles.
Also incorrect.
Miami.
Damn.
Yeah.
Miami was the correct answer. I'm sorry, Randy, still don't get the point for that. What NBA team was very nearly renamed the Swamp Dragons?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
What?
Yes.
Andy.
What? Andy.
The Pelicans?
That is incorrect.
That's a great guess, because I sure
the
thought about the Pelicans.
The Swamp Dragons?
The Swamp Dragons.
Randy, you want to just take a guess?
The Sonics.
Also incorrect. New Jersey Nets. Can you believe it? That
what? The they got that swamps up there?
They have swamps in New Jersey?
I have no idea. I do know this, though. Huh. Andy is still in the lead, 3-2. We'd have a couple minutes left.
All right.
What was Terrell Davis' UGA number?
Randy.
Randy?
He was 33.
33 is correct. We are tied at three apiece now. Who is the only NFL player to score a touchdown against every NFL team?
Oh, Andy.
Andy.
Tom Brady?
Incorrect.
You said score.
Score TD against every NFL team.
Oh, I guess pass influence doesn't.
Yeah,
okay, got
yeah.
it. All right, my bad.
Randy.
Randy.
Adrian Peterson?
Also incorrect. It would be Terrell Owens.
T.O. Oh, T.O. Really? Yeah, that makes sense. Played for a long time.
Yeah,
a lot of different teams.
All right, whoever gets the next question correct will win the game. Who is the all-time leading rusher for Georgia Tech?
Randy.
Randy?
Oh, my God.
For the win, no. Randy.
Tashard Choice.
That is incorrect. Andy, you have a guess?
I don't know the answer to that question. John Heisman. I don't know.
Who was it?
Robert Levet.
Oh.
Who?
Robert Levet.
Okay.
All right, and we'll just go with this one. If not, it ends in a tie. What quarterback led Clemson to their first national championship in 1981? You want a hint? It's the name of one of Randy's dogs.
Randy.
Randy?
Homer.
Homer is correct. So it's Homer Jordan.
All right, that sucks, but whatever.
Hey, I was going to be like, well, is his last name Delilah?
Delilah Jenkins, former quarterback of the Clemson Tigers.
You better go give your dog a hug and a kiss.
What's the guy's name?
Homer Jordan.
Homer Jordan.
Now we know. Wow. And congratulations,
That's a
Randy.
Terrible way to lose, but congratulations.
Oh, man. All I can think about was, damn it, somebody's last name Delilah?
All right. We'll come back. Thank you, Wendy. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. It's a happy hour Friday, so drink up. Send us pictures of what you're drinking, too, in the final hour. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.